I wanted tonight to come back to the story of Elizabeth. I didn't say everything I wanted to say this morning. You know how that it is when you work on a sermon and then you just know that it's just getting longer and longer and people only have so much patience. And so I really wanted to come back to that story tonight and kind of finish what I was working on this morning. A little bit different angle and a different character to be involved. This morning I talked about the story of the amazing miracle of the birth of, or of the conception of John the Baptist with Zechariah and Elizabeth. I focused a little bit more on Zechariah and that couple as part of the story. Tonight I want to continue to look at part of that story, especially at Elizabeth, and then the actual arrival of John the Baptist and the, you might say, the third trimester of her pregnancy. Turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 39, and we're going to pick up the story in six verses, 39 through 45. And this part, which is also a very precious part of the story, a little bit different character and a little bit different part of the Christmas story, but yet so precious. And so we're going to read at verse 39 tonight. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so highly favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." This part of the story tonight brings in another character, one very familiar and probably even more familiar than the characters we talked about this morning. But this message tonight and this time to look into a part of the Christmas story brings together these two women, one much older than the other, Mary and Elizabeth. It seems to take place very soon after the time that Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel. Roughly, it seems like when you look and you put together the stories that the angel had come and talked to Zechariah, angel Gabriel, and given him the message, and he was unable to talk. And however he communicated that to his wife and to others, I'm not sure, but there really wasn't anybody to tell the story about exactly what Gabriel said to Zechariah till his tongue was loosed and he was able to. But I have often wondered what Zechariah must have tried to communicate to Elizabeth. That little video this morning kind of piqued my interest, and I just liked the way it portrayed that conversation or that circumstance of Zechariah coming home and trying to tell his wife without being able to speak that she's going to have a baby and God sent an angel and all those things. Well, that was the first visit of Gabriel. And then Gabriel also visited Mary. And the angel came a second time and talked to her. It seems that very soon, at least according to Luke's telling, it seems that very soon after that visit of Gabriel to Mary that this story takes place. In other words, doesn't seem to be a lot of time between Mary's knowledge that she was going to have a baby and her leaving her home and traveling 70 miles or so to the hill country of Judea and then going to the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah. Gabriel tells Mary that even Elizabeth is going to have a baby in her old age. So Mary has known, or she heard from Gabriel as well, about Elizabeth. She understood that God had also chosen Elizabeth for a miraculous birth to take place, a miraculous son, and Gabriel says, kind of a confirmation of what we looked at this morning, in her old age. That's the words that Gabriel used to Mary, that God was going to give her a son in her old age. So that tells us Mary is quite a bit younger than Elizabeth, but yet they were very close. There was something about them that was very special. Even though Gabriel tells Mary that that Elizabeth is barren, he also, Gabriel, tells Mary that nothing's impossible with God. So you have an angel of God saying it. You have other people saying it. Nothing is impossible to God. But here's Gabriel, an angel that's mentioned in the scriptures, who is foretelling or telling the truth about God and that nothing is impossible with him. So verse 39 especially, I want us to read again. If I can, I'm supposed to be on. Is this thing on as far as you know? Right click, right? Well, it's been a while. There, I guess, did you do that or did I? Okay, I know something. Okay, look at verse 39 again. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea where she entered Zechariah's home. That's why I say it seems like it's very immediate, because the verse before, the angel left her. In fact, the very words before we read at that time is, then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town. So there was this immediacy of Mary going to be with Elizabeth. She hurried to do that. She got ready. And of course, there's a lot of speculation. Why did Mary go to see Elizabeth? Why did she do it so suddenly? I mean, there's a lot of things, of course, and every story of the Bible where we know some of the details and we kind of think we probably know why. Obviously, it was a very, very, very unusual situation, to the point that it had never happened before. And how this young girl, Mary, probably a young teenager, probably between 13 and 15 or so, at least the context thinks that she was an early teenager, a young woman, able to bear a child. But you just think of the perceptions of all the people around Mary when she tries to explain, long before she's showing. But can you imagine after the angel came, what she did about that? Did she tell her parents right away? Did she tell Joseph right away? We don't really know a lot about that. Joseph did know about it, but we don't know exactly when. Did she tell her friends? Did she tell her siblings? Did she have siblings? And how did she deal with that, knowing what the angel said to her? But how do you communicate that? How do you say to your family that, well, this angel came to me and told me I'm going to be pregnant? I mean, can you imagine the normal general reaction of people around Mary who would say, yeah, okay, sure. But whatever, what does Mary do? She leaves and she goes to be with Elizabeth. Maybe she needed a friend. Maybe she needed somebody to talk to. Maybe she just felt like, I've got to get out of Nazareth. I've got to get away from all the people that are going to be asking questions. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know if she felt particularly close to Elizabeth. We really don't know that. It does seem like they had a deep relationship, and they were very close with Elizabeth. And maybe she thought, well, Elizabeth will understand me. Elizabeth will know because, I hate to stop and try to do it every time, but I'm sorry, Andy. I'm just not too bright. Please? Thanks. But something about this relationship, Mary went first to her. Maybe she knew that because the angel had given this gift to Elizabeth, and the angel had told her that, maybe she thinks, well, we're linked together. And whatever this is going on, this amazing message that Gabriel gave to me, gave a message to her, so the best thing I can do is go and be with her, and we can talk about it. We can deal with it together. Maybe she didn't know what to say to Joseph, and he was going to be told, and she thought that was an impossible situation. Maybe She didn't know what to do, but whatever the case, it says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Well, what do we know about Mary and Elizabeth? Number one, we know that they were cousins. They're described that. Although the word in the New Testament is kind of a broader word than we think of as a cousin, as the word brother is used in the New Testament. Sometimes when the word brother is in discussion, the word brother can mean anyone in the family. And it's the same with this. It seems like they were cousins. They're called that. And that's the word that was translated into that way. So they were cousins. But more deeply than that, we know that they were, you would call them friends. They trusted each other. I'm going to throw this thing away. Okay. I'm sorry. Andy, would you just help me with that? Okay. They were friends. And I know I'm so distracted, and that probably annoys you terribly, but I'll stop and give it up for now. They were friends. They were close. They were able to know and hear what each other needed and be able to talk about. They were confidants. In other words, they are able to talk to each other about their needs and their feelings. And maybe it's like these two women, they have each other and they needed each other for this special time. They also, if you think about it, became mothers of very special sons as a part of God's plan. So they shared something. They shared this incredible time period of God reaching out and sending a miraculous birth of two boys who were cousins and related and would be linked in ministry. Forever linked by an amazing God who had a plan for them, forever linked by the visits of the angel Gabriel who had come and seen them, forever linked by this plan of God, forever linked by the knowledge that God had given them a son for a special purpose, coming to terms with what that was. Obviously, John the Baptist and Elizabeth here acknowledges that John the Baptist is not the same as the baby of Mary. They are different, and they seem to understand that. Elizabeth understands that this miracle that God is giving to them is to point the way for the Son who is from God Himself and God Himself. I don't know in that day if there was any concept of what it meant that God came in the form of a man, the full divinity and humanity of Jesus. I don't know if Mary understood that. Maybe she did. I mean, theologically, we try to understand that. We talk about that. How is it that Jesus is fully God and fully man? I don't know if she thought in terms of that at all, but she had to think in some of those terms as she weighs this baby that she knows there's no father. I mean, she knows that this has just never happened before. And what does that mean? Well, here are these two mothers that are wrestling with these two things. Obviously, Elizabeth and Zechariah have a son through the natural means, but yet God intervenes to give them that son. And the knowledge of who that son will be and why that son is so special. There had to be this special link between Mary and Elizabeth in so many different ways. I wonder what they thought as they compared notes on their visitation. You imagine Elizabeth trying to tell what she knew from Zechariah and Mary trying to tell Elizabeth about this angel that came, and I don't know what's going to happen with Joseph, and I don't know what God's going to do, but it's incredible. Both of them by the angel Gabriel. Let's talk for a minute about the angel Gabriel. There's 1,000 pictures of Gabriel on the internet, but yet no one knows what he looks like. Obviously, I chose one here. He has a trumpet in his hand. Gabriel, as far as we know, never blew a trumpet, but he might, you know. We think of the angels because some of the visitations in the scriptures of angels or they blew trumpets. So that's kind of why I think that comes from. But as best I understand, Gabriel's never in the scriptures described as blowing a trumpet. But let's think a little bit about Gabriel. I don't preach about angels very often because there's just not a lot of certain knowledge about angels. There's some things we know about them. In fact, there are a lot of things in the Bible about angels, but also there are a lot of people in the history of the church who have had encounters and have had special times when angels have come to them and spoken to them. There are some people in all the three churches that I have pastored who have told me that they've had an experience, and some might be here tonight who've had an experience when you believe that an angel came and visited you. We do have some information about angels, and this message tonight is not about angels, but there is a lot to be said about angels. Gabriel himself is described two times in the Bible. Here in Luke chapter 1, and this visitation, both with Zechariah and then with Mary, the same angel, these two stories, but also Gabriel is the angel who gave to Daniel in the Old Testament the vision and talked to Daniel about all that he saw beginning in chapter 8 of the book of Daniel. And so you think Old Testament and New Testament, and the linkage between this angel, Gabriel, that God used in different places, in different contexts, that just tells me that there must be an amazing variety of places and times that God uses angels. We don't know the times that he does, but this example or this story, also, although it's not in your Bible, Bibles that include the Apocrypha and other books that we don't consider as authoritative as some churches do, there's a lot of stories about Gabriel. For example, in the Apocrypha writings and Jewish writings, he is the angel that is most written about in the sacred books, although they're not in our Old Testament and New Testament Bible. But there's a lot of stories about Gabriel and him coming and speaking to people. We know that he was God's messenger. He had a story to tell. We know that he visited these two families 70 miles apart, 6 months apart or so. And who knows all the places and times that Gabriel has been the messenger of God. They're just recorded here. Well, let's look a little bit at what happened when Gabriel visited these two families. The first thing that I would say about Gabriel the angel is he was very reassuring to both of these families. Don't be afraid. Of course, Zechariah, we read this morning, was startled with fear. He was gripped, one translation says, with fear. And Mary, she is perplexed. She was greatly troubled. But she seemed to be more greatly troubled at his words, not his appearance. At least that's what the text says here. It says, the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, Zechariah, on the other hand, was totally terrified. Mary seems to say, I can't believe you said what you did to me. She was amazed by the message that the angel gave to her. But in both cases, the angel's message is reassuring. You don't need to be afraid. God is here. God has sent me. I am God's messenger. God has a plan. Gabriel tells both of these families, God has a plan. God knows what he's doing. This is not a random, strange thing, but this is a part of the plan of God. You know, that's why probably it's easy for us to say sometimes and think everything in life is a part of the plan of God. I mean, we know that God has foreknowledge of everything that happens. Everything that happens from beginning to the end. And understanding how he has seen the plan, he sees how it's laid out, yet he's made man with the ability to have choices and a will as part of that. But God knows his foreknowledge of everything that is there. And God has a plan. God is working through all of those circumstances to bring about the reconciliation of man to God. And he's working in all the details of lies in order to draw us to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a plan. And Gabriel says that in both of these stories. God has sent me. I have something to tell you. Listen to God. I have something to tell you. Also, Gabriel communicates to them, God has been watching you. God has been watching you. And I'm reminded that that's so true of us today. We're not outside of the eyesight of God. No matter who we are, how old we are, how young we are, how old we are within the eyesight of God. He has been watching. He's been watching Zechariah and Elizabeth. We read this morning about some of the ways that he says that. I've been watching you. He's been watching Mary. Mary, you're highly favored. Joseph, God had been watching him. He had chosen Joseph. He knew Joseph's character, and he chose him. The truth is, God knows us. He knows our character. He knows everything about us. And he's watching us today. I believe the same God who watched Zechariah and Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary sees us today. He knows our lives. He knows our frames. He knows everything that come to be. He also assures them that God will bless them. And he tells them that you have been chosen by God. I'm watching you and I'm going to bless you and use you. I have a purpose for you. Imagine how reassuring that was, how it was for Mary especially. As she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said, she says to the angel. Whatever you say, whatever God says, I'm willing to do. I can do that. And then as they come together, just think with me for a few minutes tonight about, okay, Mary makes this 70-mile trip, probably alone. I don't know, unless somebody took her there and escorted her there and brought her back. But she apparently knew where Zechariah lived. It would seem so. And can you imagine when they came together? I mean, for 6 months, Elizabeth has been trying to understand all this. Now Elizabeth, or now Mary, is trying to understand this for a short amount of time. She can't wait to get to see her cousin and talk to her. Can you imagine when they come together, the joy that was there? She came to the house of Zechariah, and there was a greeting, and at that greeting, everything just breaks loose. But can you imagine the joy? This morning I talked about the joy between Zechariah and Elizabeth. And, you know, how do they communicate what was going on and what was going to happen and all those things. But here you have a different kind of joy. You have these two cousins, these two women, these two mothers-to-be, these two faithful Jewish ladies who knew that God had chosen them for something incredibly special and amazing. And the joy that they must have had, it must have been pretty special. They were happy for each other. And Elizabeth says words later that shows how happy she is for Mary. And Mary's happy for her older cousin who's going to have a baby when it was hopeless and too late and whatever. There's no way that Elizabeth, I'm sorry that God's not allowed you to have a baby in all these years, and now she is. And just imagine the joy. Can you just imagine? I'm thinking the laughter and, you know, just the incredible. Can you believe this is happening to us? But these two women have this special link, this special tie. The laughing, the questioning, the dreaming, the describing, the sharing together had to be incredible. The sharing, the talking. I don't know how late they stayed up that first night. You know how it is sometimes when, you know, people get together when they have a lot of excitement and that kind of thing. But imagine that sharing that went on between these two women. It had to be a special link and a special tie. And then the comparison of pregnancies, you know. So go on to a couple slides here. You got the sharing and then you got the comparing of pregnancies. But just imagine, you know, Elizabeth trying to explain all that's happened to her. Now Mary's trying to explain that to her. Well, you know, what should I expect? And I wasn't expecting to be pregnant. What's going to happen? And my body and my emotions and my whatever, you know, and all those things as they talk about this amazing gift of life that God had given to him. So you have this this joy, this sharing, this comparing of pregnancies. And then you have the description here of Elizabeth's reaction to seeing Mary. And that's pretty special. I don't know if she knew that Mary was coming. She may have. We don't know that. But it says that she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And then verse 41, everything seems to change there. She greeted Elizabeth. Elizabeth, it's Mary. Or whatever the greeting was. I'm here. We've got to talk. And when Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, God does something inside of her. That's another gift. It says the baby leaped in her womb. I don't know if this is the quickening. It seems like it, you know, 5 to 6 months. Is that the quickening time? Help me out here, ladies. Is it earlier? It's earlier. So I don't know. I did read about it, and it seemed like the quickening was later. I mean, that quickening normally is earlier in the pregnancy. So I don't know if this was something different the first time or something, but whatever. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. So here's this baby, this embryo, this precious child, at this point, 5 to 6 months pregnant or so, in the 6th month of her pregnancy, and he leaps in her womb. John the Baptist, this boy somehow knows. There's some excitement about that inside of Elizabeth, about Mary and what's inside of her. There's somehow this below the radar, below the skin, joy and excitement and amazing connection even with John the Baptist and Jesus, if you think of it that way. So there was Mary's greeting. And then the leaping in the womb. And then you have more. Then you have Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You imagine that? Oh, she's 6 months pregnant. The baby has leapt in her womb, and then the Holy Spirit fills her. Wow. Wow, that had to be an incredible moment, an incredible day. All those things happen here. Mary comes, her special cousin. Mary knows all about Elizabeth. I don't know if Elizabeth knows all about Mary, but when she gets there and he greets her, the baby leaps. The Holy Spirit fills her at that time and that place. And then in verse 42, we have this loud voice, the response of Elizabeth, which I just summarize as praise and blessing. Praise and blessing. Praise God. And Mary, you are blessed. And you have this sense of the wonder and the praise. I'll read that verse again. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so highly favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" I mean, Elizabeth already knows that the Lord is within Mary. Elizabeth has been told by someone or some angel or some revelation of God or some way, she already knows that Mary is carrying the Lord, carrying the one who will deliver the people from their sins. So Elizabeth already knows this. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe when she's filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe then God gave her a special knowledge, but it had to be an incredible blessing. You think of all the ways that Elizabeth has been blessed. Blessed by having a baby. Blessed by the visitation of the angel to her husband and all the revelation. And then blessed as Mary comes and she realizes that it's a part of the bigger picture as well. Blessed are you among women and blessed is the child you will bear. Why am I so highly favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The mother of my Lord. I mean, Elizabeth is saying that baby, a few days, weeks, maybe a month or two, I don't know how long for Mary. But, you know, Elizabeth is calling that little embryo Lord already. There's a recognition of faith and the reality of God's work. And she sees that and she recognizes that already. The mother of my Lord should come to me. It's as if Elizabeth is bowing down to the wonder of God's plan that's just beginning, that's just developing. And she knows it. God has confirmed that with her. And then verse 44 says, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Now that's Elizabeth talking. Think about that. Again, she kind of retells the story. As soon as I heard your voice, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. So John the Baptist is leaping for joy. Not just leaping, you understand, but the text says leaped for joy. Isn't that quite a picture? For joy. How does a 6-month-old baby leap for joy? That's what the scripture is telling us. There was a reaction of the baby inside of Elizabeth. when she meets Mary. Not just leaped. I mean, before it says the baby leaped in her womb in verse 41. But then when you get down to her, how she describes it, it's something different. It's something more. It is amazing. That baby leapt for joy. The excitement, the wonder, the recognition. So this amazing, incredible story is not just between Zechariah and Elizabeth, not between Mary and Gabriel, not just between Elizabeth and Mary, but it's also the baby in the womb leaping for joy. In my womb, leapt for joy. And then finally, the words of Elizabeth here, who again recognizes that God's plan for Mary is unique and different and extremely special. And I don't want to say bigger than hers. That's not the right way to say it, but different than hers. That Mary is carrying something different than she is. She says, "Blessed is she who has been to believe what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Elizabeth is blessing Mary, saying, "You believed this incredible story that God gave you, and God's going to bless you for that." Mary had to have incredible faith. Of course she did. I mean, for her to believe God, to believe the angel, and Elizabeth recognizes that. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her. That's pretty neat. Elizabeth says, "Mary, you don't understand. It's incredible that you believe this. And you believe God. You are going to be so blessed." We see both the character and the faith of Elizabeth, but we also see that recognition of the character and the faith and the trust of Mary in this story also. What a neat story, this relationship. She was blessing Mary. She was like the older sister. And she's looking at the younger and saying, "Oh, you've got it right. God's blessed me so much. Look at me. I'm pregnant. But God's blessed you too. And you believe God. You trust God." What a beautiful story. Thoughts or comments or anything about this story that you'd like to say anything about? I've come to the end of my water, I think. So, anybody have anything about this or anything in the Christmas story you think, "Boy, that's kind of a neat thing"? And anything at all? Okay. Let's dismiss in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for the Christmas story. Every time we look at it, God, may we feel and sense the wonder of the miracle, the wonder of the planning of God. May we see things that maybe we haven't seen the last time we read it. May our hearts be open to fresh wonders of your revelation. Thank you for the faith of Zechariah and Elizabeth and for Mary and Joseph and all those that are in the story. I pray, God, you would speak to us through it. Help us to be stronger in our faith. Help us to be excited about you, to be excited about the story. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless.